Okay. By the way, I do apologize. For some reason, I've had internet problems a number of times, and we've been cut off, especially towards the end. I'm not sure why this is happening.
It could be your provider.
We're having a look at it. At the moment, it seems okay. Okay, let's go. So we saw yesterday, we're about to learn a Tosfos. We saw yesterday in Rashi that the Gemara is darshaning the word la'achosoi, yet again to teach us a heter for meis mitzvah. What case can be left to discuss? We've surely discussed a nozir, number one, a nozir kohen, number two, and a nozir kohen gadol, number three. So what's left? So the Gemara tells us that somebody who's on the way to doing either Pesach or Mila, which is so chomor that it's a chayve krisus. Nonetheless, he's mechuyev to stop, be mevatel the mitzvah, and tend to the meis mitzvah. Now, yesterday we were medayik, if you remember the Rashi, not the short Rashi or the relatively short Rashi at the end of the Amud, but the longer Rashi before, Rashi used those important words, im eino inyan. Im eino inyan is evoking the principle by which you can learn a halacha which actually has nothing to do with the context in which the word is found from which you are deriving that halacha. Im einoi inyan, if there's no inyan, if there's no relevance over here, we'll use it elsewhere. So it sounds like from Rashi, that this word, la'achosoi, has nothing to do with nozeh anymore. So it's not a continuous progression. The first three cases were all nozeh. And remember, these psukim are in the parasha of Nozeh, in parashas Nozeh. It sounds like that the fourth case, however, is a brand new case. And that is a regular person who's neither a kohen or a Nozeh or anything, but the fact that he's on his way to doing a bris or Pesach, terezi mechadesh, that he goes and tends to a meis mitzvah. Now, without any further ado, let's immediately look at Tosfos. Ula achosoi ma talmud loima, the second last Tosfos on the Yomid. Most of Tosfos, in fact, almost all of it, is basically a repeat from Rashi, so therefore we should be able to learn this Tosfos quite quickly. Says Tosfos, ula achosoi ma talmud loima, gabe nozir ksiv, with regard to a nozir, it is written the following, al nefesh meis loy yovoi, quote unquote. V'ksiv basrei, and it is written after that, right? Basrei, like Bava Basra, the last one, afterwards. It is written immediately after that pasuk, quote unquote, la'ovi v'le'imoi, la'ochi v'la'achosoi, la'yitame, quote unquote. With a big question being, once you've already told me in the previous pasuk, you cannot become tommy for anybody, why the need to then go and spell out father, mother, brother, and sister? Says Tosfos, v'kulhu, all of them, yaseiri, are extra, ninhu, they are. All of these words are totally superfluous at face level. Why? Demi nefesh meis, quote unquote, nafka, because I've already learned this, I've already derived this from the words nefesh meis. Nefesh meis sounds like you cannot become tamei as a nozir for any nefesh meis. So why the need now to spell out the various different relatives? Says Tosfos, v'darashinon, so we now make the following droshes. Number one, la'oviv, quote unquote, ma talmud lo'ima. What is the word la'oviv coming to teach you? Remember, merely to be translated and taken literally is not necessary. L'gufe, for its own translation, loy itzrich, it is not necessary. D'ho minefesh meis, nafka kulu, because I can learn them all from nefesh meis. Therefore, v'loy bo, elo lahoitzi meis mitzvah. It must be coming to teach you that excluded from the general rule is a meis mitzvah. Shemuta letamei boy. So yes, you should not become tamei for any meis, with the exception. The rule has an exception, and the exception is the nozir may become tamei And by the way, when we say mutter, what we in fact mean is chayev. He must become tomei for the meis mitzvah. Number two, le'imoi, quote unquote, ma talmud lo'ima. Again, le'gufei lo'i isterich. I don't need it for its simple translation. Do not become tomei for your mother. I already know that. Ulahatir meis mitzvah. So too, I also don't need it to teach me the meis mitzvah rule. Why not? De mila oviv, quote unquote, nafka. Because I already learned the meis mitzvah rule from the first word in la'oviv. So le'imoy, neither is it needed for its simple translation, nor is it needed to exclude meis mitzvah because I already know that. Ela la'ovi, so it's coming to tell you. She'im hoya nozir v'koyin. She'yesh alof shtei kedushois. If he has two kedushois, so I might have thought if that's the case, he is so kadosh, maybe meis mitzvah heter does not apply to him. That's why the Torah needs to tell you, no. Ein hakosuv mazhiroi. The Torah is only warning him. Mazhiroi is to warn. The Torah is only warning him. Miletame elole imoi. Yes, he may not become tomei for his mother. Avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah. But yes, he may become tomei for a meis mitzvah. What will you tell me? But I already know the meis mitzvah rule. No, but here the chiddush is, he is allowed to become tomei for a meis mitzvah, even though he is the subject of a double kedusha. What about now the third word in the pasuk? Le'ochiv ma talmud lo'ima, le'ochiv, quote unquote, what is that teaching me? She'im ho'yakoyim godoil v'nozeh. So now, he's not just got a double kedusha, but it's a double super kedusha. The kedusha soy chomor. His kedusha is so chomor. The gamboloi nazirus, even were he not to be a nazir, as we well know, a kohen gadol is osur letame lekroivav. A kohen gadol is not allowed to be metame for his kroivim. Afal pi kein. Nonetheless, this is the chiddush of the Torah. Laochiv hu de'enei metame. The Torah is stressing, yes, he may not become tame for his brother, with the inference being Avo Matamehu Lemeis Mitzvah. Now, Ve'im Einoi Inyan Lenozir Greda. And if I cannot use the Pasuk for a mere regular Nozir, Veloy Lekoyen Hediot Nozir, nor for a Koyen Hediot, that means a regular Koyen who's a Nozir, because I've already learned all of that.
What's the exact translation of greda?
Alone.
Alone.
Alone itself. Or mere. M-E-R-E is probably the best translation. A mere kohen. So for a mere nazir, a regular nazir who's a nazir alone, meaning without any other trimmings. So that can't be the usage of the pasuk. Neither can it be used for a kohen who's a nazir, because I know that as well. Therefore, Tenehu Inyan, Lekoyen Godil Nozi, as we said before. And then you get to the last halacha. Ula Achoisei, quote unquote, we're now up to number four. This is the final one. Ula Achoisei Ma Talmud Lema. Hare, now look at these words, underline these words. She'im Hoya Koyen Godil V'Nozir. So you see what we are noticing in Tosfos? Tosfos is clearly telling us that the mitzvah, the case of going to do the Korban Pesach and the Mila, is a progression from the previous case. Because we are still talking about somebody who is a Kohen Gadol and a Nozir. Tosfos says that absolutely clearly.
In other words, the person who's going to shecht his Pesach or to be mal his son is also a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol.
And a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol.
Yes.
Right. So which means every case, therefore, is building upon the previous case. So case number one, Nazir. Case number two, Kohen Nazir Kohen. Case number three, Nazir, Kohen, Gadol. Case number four, Nazir, Kohen, Gadol, Pesach Umila. The Ikem mitzvah is Tuva, and he has all these mitzvahs to do. Afilo achi la'achoysoi hu da'enoi metamei, avo metamei l'meis mitzvah. Now, there's a very, very lengthy Tosfos, which we're not going to learn this minute, but I just want to learn with you the very first line of this Tosfos, because it's a continuation of what we just discussed, i.e., according to Tosfos, as Rabbi Eliyahu Dovid just mentioned, we are talking about somebody who is a Nazir, Kohen, Gadol, who's also going to shecht his Pesach or do his Milah. Now, let's stop for a moment. We have this person who's a Nazir, Kohen, Gadol, and he's on the way to the Pesach and Milah. So we said, if one of the Krovim pass away, he cannot become Tomei. Right? His brother, sister, he cannot become Tomei. But if it's a Meis Mitzvah, then he may become Tomei, even though he's a Nazir, and a Kohen Gadol, and he's going to lose out on Pesach and Milah. That's the two halves of the coin. Again, for a regular Korayv, he cannot become Tomei. For a Meis Mitzvah, he may. So let's now think to ourselves, what would be the case? What would be the halacha? Imagine he would not be a Nazir Kohen Gadol, but he's a regular person. A regular person who's neither a Nazir nor a Kohen, and he's on his way now to shecht his Pesach or do a Milah. And all of a sudden, on the way, he hears that a close relative has unfortunately passed away. Does he become Tomei for them?
Meaning, you already said there's an Indian of Kareis by these two mitzvahs.
Right, that's the big question. So here I've got a big dilemma on my hand. On the one hand, I've got no problem, obviously, with this person becoming Tomei because he's got no prohibition in becoming Tomei. He's neither a Kohen or a Nazir. But let's not forget, if he does become Nazir, if he does become Tomei, that's it. He can't enter the Beis HaMikdash. He can't eat Korban Pesach. He's going to be Chayav Kores. So would we say that if that's the case, he better not become Tomei and he should continue with his Pesach? Or do we say that perhaps not? This whole Braisa was only ever talking about a Kohen, Gadol, Nazir. That's when we make the distinction between a Meis Mitzvah and Sha'ar Krovim. But perhaps a regular Joe in the street, a regular normal person who is not the subject of this Braisa, the implication would be that if he's on his way to the Pesach and Milah and he hears a relative has died, he would become Tomei. As you point out, Rabbi Eliyahu Dovid, even at the expense of Chayvei Krisus. If you look at the very long Tosfos, just the first opening line. Omrat loy yitame. You told me that he should not become Tomei for Krovim. He's on his way to the Pesach. Do not become Tomei. Why not? Says Tosfos. Mipnei, because Shekoi. What does Shekoi mean? This is referring to Al Odom Shehu Nazir V'Koyein Gadol. Again, Tosfos is now for the second time pointing out, and that's why I wanted to see this line together. Tosfos is for the second time pointing out that we are talking about a specific case of somebody who is a Nazir Kohen Gadol, and that's when we say, don't become Tomei for other craving. Mipnei shekoi al odom shu Nazir Kohen Gadol v'oisa Pesach. Mashma, says Tosfos, the implication is therefore the Oisa Pesach greater. Reb Nachum, here's your word greater. That if you are merely involved in Pesach, greater, merely. If you are merely involved in a Pesach, meaning, but you are not a Nazir and you are not a Kohen Gadol, then the implication is Rasha, it is permitted. Letame lekroivim. This is what launches this entire Tosfos. Again, what Tosfos's diuk? Tosfos's diuk is we are only discussing a Nozik Kohen Gadol. If you're a Nozik Kohen Gadol on the way to the Pesach and Mila, don't be metamei for Shar Kroivim, only for a Meis Mitzvah. With the implication being that if you're not a Nozik Kohen Gadol, then you may be metamei for Shar Kroivim, even at the expense of Pesach. Moshezela, you look puzzled.
Yeah. Doesn't this get back to the whole inyan of, Brias, Kavod Abrias trumping
the Raisa. Yeah. Very, very valid point. Very valid point. So that we have to see in our case anyway, the Gemara is going to discuss Kavod Abrias. So for the moment, Tosfos is making an enormous statement, which is a terrific chiddush. You have somebody on the way to be makir a korban Pesach. He hears that his close relative has passed away. We would tell him, you may stop in your tracks, go back and attend to the levaya, become tomei, which will necessarily mean that you've just now lost your korban Pesach, which is essentially koris. By the way, let's not make a mistake. Obviously, he's not going to be chayav koris because he's an oinus. But we're talking about a mitzvah which is so severe that it generally carries koris. It's that severe. It's that heavyweight. And nonetheless, we are telling him, your relative has passed away. First things first, go and attend to the levaya. Yes, you will become tomei. Yes, you will miss out the Pesach. Yes, we are dealing with something which is chayav krisus. You nonetheless become tomei for the craving. Except if you're a Kohen Gadol Nozi. So as you mentioned, Moshe Zeller, we have to immediately consider what happened to Kavod Abrias. We always said that Kavod Abrias is not knockout of Deraisa. We're going to see that in the Gemara, in the Kasha anyway. Either way, we're going to press pause in Tosfos. I just wanted to learn that opening line with you, because you see that Tosfos once again points out that we're clearly talking about a Kohen Gadol Nozir. That is the subject at hand. Okay. Now let's get back to our subject and try and finish the Gemara. So we have this whole braisa, la'oviv, le'imoy, la'ochiv, or la'achosei. Rashi and Tosfos both have filled us in completely what exactly is being discussed. And it turns out we're dealing with somebody who's on his way to a Korban Pesach or Mila, and he's allowed to attend to a Meis Mitzvah. Tosfos says he's also a Nozir Kohen Gadol. Rashi perhaps is not mashma that way. I'm not entirely convinced, but either way, Ramesh Zelig, here comes your kasha. Either way, we are telling him, go back, attend to the Meis Mitzvah, and abandon your Korban Pesach. That's what we're telling him. Attend to the Meis Mitzvah, become Tomei, even though it means missing out on the Korban Pesach, which is a Deiraisa. So once again, we have the big question, how can you attend to a Meis Mitzvah, which ultimately is an issue of Kavod HaBrias, if it means you're losing out on a Deiraisa or Korban Pesach? Says the Gemara on the top line. Avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah. Even though you're on your way to the Korban Pesach, and you may not be metame for Shar Krovim, but you may be metame for a meis mitzvah, look immediately at the first Rashi at the top of the Amud. Avol metame hu lemeis mitzvah v'hu kovod habriyos. This is an issue of kovod habriyos, the Doiche Dvar Torah, and it seems to be pushing aside a Dvar Torah. We have said in our entire sugya that Kavod Abrias can only be Doiche a Derabbanon, not a Dvar Torah. Now, we did have one exception. The one exception was in the case of Hashavas Aveda. In the case of Hashavas Aveda, what did we say? But if it's a zokein, the einoi lefi chvoidoi, if it is unbefitting to his cover, then he should leave the Aveda. So even though there too, you are knocking out a Doiraisa. So the Gemara says, it's true. But there's a specific pasuk to teach me so. So that's not the rule, that's the exception. But the general rule is that you cannot knock out a Doiraisa for the sake of Kavod HaBriyos. And yet over here, in the case of Tumah, that's exactly what seems to be happening, says the Gemara. Amai, why is this being allowed? Lema, we should say, we should evoke the rule of Ein Chochma V'Ein Tvuna V'Ein Eitzel Neged Hashem. There's no shtick. Can't do tricks on the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Finish. If the Torah says, you've got a mitzvah of Korban Pesach, then I'm afraid to say, all issues of Kavod HaBriyos surely be pushed aside. So why am I pushing the Korban Pesach aside? Says the Gemara, the obvious answer, the exact same answer that we gave in the case of Hashavas Aveda, Shani Asam. Over there it's different. Why is it different? Diksiv, because it is written, quote unquote, V'la'achoyse. There is a specific limud to teach you that he is allowed to become Tomei. So don't tell me that's the rule. That is the exception to the rule. The general rule is what? That Kavod HaBriyos does not knock out a Doiraisa. So why in the case of a Pesach and Mila does it knock out a Doiraisa? Because the Torah has clearly stipulated that it does. How so? With this extra word, La'achoisai. So we have a special drosha. Now, if you remember, in the case of Hashavas Aveda, we immediately asked the question, one second, how do you know that it's the exception to the rule? Maybe it is the rule. So we said, you can't learn Hilchas Issa from Momim. Says the Gemara. The Ligmar Minei, question mark. So why can't we learn from over here, from what? From the La'achoisai. Let's indeed learn that this exception is not the exception. Let that become the rule. If the Torah says, the La'achoisai, which teaches me that you attend to the Meis Mitzvah even at the expense of Korban Pesach, so let that become the rule. So the Torah is apparently teaching me that what? That you are allowed to knock out a Doiraisa for the sake of Kavod HaBriyos. Why are we being so insistent that the rule is that you cannot knock out a Doiraisa and this is an exception? How do you know? Maybe this now becomes the rule. Let this be the big headline where we see that the Torah tells us you can knock out a Doiraisa for the sake of Kavod HaBriyos. Now, if you remember, just before we see the Gemara's answer, how did this entire sugya begin? The opening line of the sugya was, somebody puts on a beged and it turns out it's got kilayim, shatnas. He will have to remove it upon finding out, even if it's in the middle of the street and it means there's a problem of Kavod HaBriyos. That was how the whole sugya began. Why does he have to remove the beged? Because even though Kavod HaBriyos is at stake, but we are dealing with a Doiraisa. So that's where we were taught the rule that you cannot knock out a Doiraisa for the purpose of Kavod HaBriyos, as important as Kavod HaBriyos is. On the other hand, here we seem to have a mafurish pasuk in the Torah that you can be mevatel the mitzvah of Korban Pesach for the sake of attending to the Meis Mitzvah. That's Kavod HaBriyos. That was the Sira. So what did we say? No, that's an exception. How do you know that's an exception? Maybe that's the rule. So in the same way as you're allowed to attend to the needs of a Meis Mitzvah, even though you are compromising on a Doiraisa, so maybe you should not have to take off your beged of shatness, even though it's compromising on a Doiraisa. Why can't we learn from the La'achoisai? So the Gemara says a four-word answer, and this is our big discussion. What does the Gemara mean? Very lengthy Rashi, which we'll make a start to. We'll see how far we get into it. Says Rashi, says the Gemara, Shev va'al taisa sha'ani. End of Gemara, two dots. We know, we've met this many times before, there is always a halachic distinction to be made between kum va'asei and shev va'al taisa. Literally translated, shev va'al taisa, sit and do not do. Kum va'asei means get up and do. In English, how do we paraphrase this? Active and passive. Shev va'al ta'ase means sit and do not do. You're not being active, you're being passive. So for example, we know, and this applied to us twice this year, Chazal have the phenomenal koyach to uproot a mitzvah min ha-Torah. This happened this year, both on Rosh Hashanah and also on Sukkos. Obviously, it always happens twice. If Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, then Sukkos on Shabbos, there's no Shofar and there's no Lulav. Why not? Chazal were concerned because you might come to carry it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Chazal have the koyach to uproot a mitzvah min ha-Torah. To uproot a mitzvah min ha-Torah. Does that mean that Chazal, in theory, if they had good reason to do so, would allow you to eat chazir and nevela? I'm not talking about pikuach nefesh, obviously, where it's muta anyway. If they could knock out lulav and shofar, can they knock out nevela as well? And the answer is no. What's the difference? The difference is one is a sheva al ta'asa and one is a kumba ase. Not shaking lulav and not listening to a shofar, you are not actively going against the Torah. You are passively going against the Torah because you are just not performing the Maisa Mitzvah. Whereas to eat nevela, you are positively and actively engaged in an act neged the Torah. Chazal cannot uproot the Torah. Why? That's the rule. Chazal can only uproot the Torah b'shev va'al ta'ase. B'shev va'al ta'ase. Now, let's stop for a moment. Chazal HaKadoshim, with this phenomenal Torah given right, can tell us, don't shake the lulav, don't blow the shofar. Why? Because we're worried somebody might carry. By the way, when you think about it, is the most phenomenal chiddush you're ever going to hear. We're worried you might carry. Who might carry? We're worried that one person in Klal Yisrael might carry, accidentally, by the way, and because of that, all of Klal Yisrael don't blow shofar. Fine, be that as it may. So Chazal HaKadoshim clearly, Barayv Chochmasam, considered the possibility of somebody carrying on Shabbos is so severe that it justifies knocking out the mitzvah of shofar and lulav. It's not for us to decide what's considered severe and what's not. We leave that for Chazal. So Chazal decided that the concern that somebody might carry and be over Hoitzah b'Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos is so serious that it warrants, it justifies knocking out shofar and lulav. Okay. How seriously do they consider kavod habrios? Kavod habrios is not an issue of being carrying in the streets in Rishus HaRabim, but it's another concern that might or might not justify knocking out a mitzvah of the Torah. Remember, shofar and lulav is becoming my headline over here. What do I see in shofar and lulav? I see in shofar and lulav that where Chazal feel there's a justification, they will overturn a mitzvah min ha-Torah if it is b'sheva al ta'ase. They cannot tell you to eat nevela, because that's kumba asay, that's active. But they can tell you, don't blow shofar, don't shake a lulav, that's sheva al ta'ase. Why? Because they feel that the concern of carrying in the street is overwhelming. How seriously do they consider kavod abrius? Says the Gemara, and again, I'm just prefacing Rashi because it's a very long Rashi, we consider that very serious as well. We consider that very serious as well. And in fact, we would be able to overturn a deiraisa for the sake of kavod abrius. We would be able to overturn. If they can knock out shofar and they can knock out lulav, then they can knock out mitzvahs as well, providing it sheva al ta'ase for the sake of kavod habrius. That is Chazal's given right. So here comes now the $64 million question. You put on a beged and you are now walking in the street, and all of a sudden you remember that it's got shatnas in it, kilayim. Is that considered, if you continue wearing that beged, is that considered a kumva asay or a sheva al ta'ase? You might say that's considered sheva al ta'ase. It's passive. Why is it passive? I'm not doing any physical act to put on this beged, it's on me already. We are being taught that actually it's considered a kum va'asei. Wearing a beged is considered an act. It is not considered to be passive, it is considered to be active. If that's the case,
is there a correlation from Shev and Kum to a mitzvah ase and a mitzvah los ase?
Might be. Generally, yes. In most cases, you're 100% right that if we're dealing with a mitzvah, then by overriding it, it's just necessarily Shev va'al ta'ase. Do not do the mitzvah. Whereas if you're dealing with a lois ase and aveira, then presumably that's a kum va'ase. Quite right. So if that's the case, let us now ask the question. When you are walking in the street and you realize you have kilayim, so there is a serious issue of kavod abrius at stake over here. And Chazal would love to tell you, keep your beged on. We would love to tell you, continue to walk around with your shatnas beged on. We would love to tell you that and override kilayim. But we cannot do that. Why can't we do that? Not merely because it's a do'iraisa, but because it's kum va'asei. It's an active da'iraisa. An active da'iraisa cannot be overturned by Chazal. Shofar and lulav is a passive da'iraisa. You can overturn that. Wearing shatnas is an active da'iraisa. You cannot overturn that. Which means we have now qualified the rule that we began this entire sugya with. We were convinced until this morning that the rule is kavod habrias can knock out the rabbonons and kavod habrias cannot knock out the iraisas. It turns out that that is a very inaccurate portrayal of the halacha, because actually kavod habrias can knock out the iraisas. So let's therefore qualify it better. Kavod Abrius can knock out the Rabbonons, that's true. You'll remember the cases we had on the previous Omad of Tumah de Rabbonon. it can also knock out the Doiraisas as well, providing that the Doiraisa we're dealing with is passive Shev v'al Taisa and not active Kum v'asei. And therefore, in the case of Shatnas, which is where we began the entire sugya, if you want to know why you have to take off the beged, why can I not be allowed to continue wearing it? Surely there's an issue of Kavod HaBrios at stake, and the answer is, I'm sorry, but our hands are tied. We cannot override this Doiraisa, even though there is a very big necessity to do so. The poor fellow's Kavod HaBrios is at stake, but we cannot overturn it. Why not? You managed very successfully to overturn Shofar and Lulav. Yes, that's Sheva al Taisa. That's not blowing Shofar. That's not shaking a Lulav. But you are wearing a beged of Shatnas. That's a positive, that's an active, that's a Kumba Aseh, and that cannot be overturned even in a situation of Kavod HaBrios. Now, this is only half an answer because we still have to come back to work out with Pesach and Mila. When he's going to be metame for a meis mitzvah, is that considered a kumba asei or a sheva al tasa? So we'll have to hold it over here. Have a look at the long Rashi. And with regard to the Tosfos, we'll have to see whether we learn the whole Tosfos, but certainly the first half of Tosfos. And then the plan is to go back and do Chazorah. This is quite a complicated sugya, Miss Hashem, that will be next time.
See you Sunday. Oh no, yes, see you tomorrow night.
Yes, Mr. Sasha.
Okay, Shkoach.